ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. Apparently the band stopped on their own again this week. I must not be paying them enough. Well, I'm not paying them anything. That's probably why they stop in the middle of my intro every week. Welcome to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this blessed Sunday morning. Miss Judy, make sure you're taking your meds this morning. Don't make me have to call you. Mr. Ronnie, Mr. Anthony, thank you for listening. And may God bless your words today. 859-381-1313 if you'd like to call and join in on the conversation. And as everyone in the Big Blue Nation knows, today you got a lot to talk about. You can email the show anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, @bottomlinelex. And if you follow us there, you get all our little handicapping tidbits throughout the week regarding Kentucky sports and sports as a whole. If you're trying to pick some winners on today's show, 2021 might have been the best day in Big Blue Nation for a long time. Kentucky wins a bowl game, a game they really wanted to win, but they left the back door open. Insert joke here. We'll explain that. The college football playoff is set. The Week 17 NFL slate is as tricky as ever today. And, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, as always, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, coming off yet another profitable week. I get tired of giving you people so many winners. All that and much, much more today on today's edition of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, Baby Got Back, Ice Ice Baby, Enrico Suave. If you had told me years ago that I'd be saying those things on a radio station one day, I would have said my life did not go as I had planned. Excuse me. But what do those three songs have in common? They're all one-hit wonders. Remember when MTV actually showed music videos? I sure do. I used to watch MTV a lot. Why? It was just background music to pass the time. By the way, MTV still has the Video Music Awards, if they can actually call them that. But they don't even play music videos anymore on MTV. The only thing they put on the air now is a show called Ridiculousness and a sporting event called The Challenge, which might be one of the top 10 sports in America right now, but I digress. But the one thing MTV always sensationalized in my youth were the one-hit wonders. They always had their own little documentaries about them. Acts like Vanilla Ice, and I admit, I had a Vanilla Ice cassette tape like most kids did in 1990 in America. Sir Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back, and Gerardo, a personal favorite, Rico Suave. Who can forget that one? Of course, you have to be of a certain age group to remember these songs, and I'm kind of pushing the 50s right now, so I digress on terms of age. But those one-hit wonders, they could never match that one moment in time when they had their moment in the spotlight. They tried. Believe me, they tried. But it never worked out. And in most cases, they failed miserably and became the butt of jokes all across America. Last night in Starkville, Mississippi, Dante Allen finally got his chance and took full advantage of it as the Kentucky basketball team won a game for the first time in 38 days, taking down Mississippi State. Kentucky was a two-point favorite in that game, and they won the game by 5 in double overtime. So now the Big Blue Nation finally has something that they haven't had in those 38 days. Hope. If this team turns things around and actually makes the NCAA tournament, this will be the moment in time, and this will definitely be the game that changes everything. And let's not get carried away, Big Blue Nation. This was just one regular season game. And regular season games in college basketball aren't exactly games we remember anymore. How many regular season games do you truly remember over the years? I'm sure there's a few, but I'm sure there's a bunch of tournament games you remember a lot more. Do you remember any regular season game over the last few years? The year Kentucky went 38-1. Do you remember any of those 38? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I can promise you this, you remember that one. It was against Wisconsin in the Final Four. It's like when I give out picks on this show. Nobody ever remembers the games I get right, but they always remember the ones I get wrong. There's a reason why CBS pays $10 billion over 14 years to show the NCAA tournament. and networks can't draw flies to watch regular season games. The main reason is everybody has money on the tournament, whether it's your life savings on every first-round game or a $2 office bracket pool, because nobody remembers regular season games anymore. When I was growing up in the 80s, regular season games were a big deal around here. I remember those old Jefferson Pilot games on WKYT every Saturday and Wednesday night. Those games were really important around here. In fact, WKYT, they would preempt their entire Wednesday night CBS lineup, and I'm sure some of those shows were some of the top 10 shows in America at the time. They would delay those shows till after the local news at 11:30 just so they could show an SEC basketball game. And yes, they got the occasional UK game once or twice a year on Wednesday night, and that made it all worth the trouble when it was all said and done. But there were a bunch of clunker games, like Georgia versus Ole Miss. And of course, local guy Tom Hammond and the late Joe Dean Sr. would make those long, cold winter nights a little bit shorter by calling those games. And Joe Dean would make you feel like those college towns of the SEC that love basketball and don't give two flips about basketball. They love football and they don't give two flips about basketball. Made sure those were the place to be. Joe Dean would yell about string musics and stufferinos in towns like Oxford, Mississippi, and Athens, Georgia. But it wasn't. And it was 34 and 40 years ago. Then it was worth something. But we paid attention more to regular season games and teams way back then. When I moved to Atlanta in 1990, I remember looking for those old Jefferson Pilot games on television the first Wednesday night of the SEC basketball season. They were nowhere to be found. Why? Nobody in Atlanta carried those games. Because in the rest of the world, not Lexington, Kentucky, college basketball regular season games just don't matter a whole lot. And in Atlanta sports talk radio, you try talking regular season college basketball, even about Georgia and Georgia Tech, that show will crash and burn immediately. They don't talk about college basketball down there until March. And those teams aren't in the tournament anyway, so they're just trying to pick the brackets and move on to baseball season. Today, most of the country doesn't even pay attention to college basketball until the brackets come out and Marge from accounting fills out her bracket pool and takes the money from the know-it-alls at the office by simply going by the team colors and the mascots. I'm not saying the Big Blue Nation is wrong for paying attention to regular season college basketball games, because the Big Blue Nation historically has the best program in America, arguably. But the point is, it's a long season. And one Dante Allen game doesn't exactly make or break that season. But from this point forward, the game last night will be remembered as the Dante Allen coming out party. Before last night in seven games, he had 19 minutes played and scored 7 points. And then last night, he scored 23 points in 32 minutes. That's great. But why was that? And why did it take so long? People watched time and time again in seven games, while guys like alleged NBA lottery picks B.J. Boston bricked three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. By the way, B.J. Boston now 5 of 33 on the season with three-pointers. And Allen made 7 last night. Why did Boston keep getting chances that Allen never could get until last night? And of course, we've heard it for weeks now. The Big Blue Nation begged to see Dante Allen. And Cal kept coming up with these excuses why he wasn't playing. He didn't make it easy for Allen either. His breakout game came on the road in the SEC, not at home versus a cupcake. On a road game, they were favored barely to win. Kentucky was going to lose last night if Allen doesn't make those 7 threes. They were done. But yeah, you don't see that every day. You don't see a kid from Pendleton County who has the entire state rooting for him come through in a clutch like that all the time, especially at a program like Kentucky. And heck, I'll be honest with you. If you show me a map of Kentucky, I'm not sure I could pick out Pendleton County. There's 120 counties in this state. I'm not sure I'd be the only one that couldn't do that either. And as always, it thrills the Big Blue Nation more than ever to see a kid from Kentucky succeed more than a kid from somewhere else who's a five-star recruit. Why? A lot of people here have pride in their state. And when he banked in that shot, you knew it was his night. And when he hit that last three, it was as close to a magical moment as you'll ever see in a little bitty regular season game. So this team is now 2-6. And if you had told the Big Blue Nation right before the season started that at January 4th you'd be 2-6, I'm sure they'd be irate. Even more so than usual. But the Big Blue Nation finally has something to give them some hope. It's a different season now if you have someone, anyone, who can shoot like Allen did last night. Kentucky was not going to win this game until Allen came in and did his thing. And they were staring 1-7 right in the face. The lineup that Bruiser Flint, yes, Bruiser Flint, stayed with the entire game at the end was a lineup of Mitz, Askew, Ware, Saar, and Allen. That lineup won the game, and he stuck with them at the end. There was no Boston there. There was no Isaiah Jackson there. Terrence Clark was out injured. Those are your first-round NBA lottery picks. But you went with five guys who aren't going to be NBA lottery picks. Wait a minute. Aren't those three other guys? Aren't they supposed to make millions? Aren't they supposed to play 35 minutes a game? Yeah, they're supposed to. If Cal was there, they probably would anyway, no matter what. The other players were open last night because Kentucky finally had one guy, regardless of who it was, one guy who could finally hit a few three-pointers. Everything changed for this team offensively when that one guy was shooting well. But even in Allen's big breakout night, Cal had to go along with it kicking and screaming because you know he didn't want to play him. Would Allen have been playing the entire game in the second half and in both overtimes had Cal not been ejected earlier in the game? Probably not. So now what happens? And the one question that truly needs to be answered this morning on the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, ESPN Radio 1392.5, what took Cal so long to play this kid? This is all about Cal being stubborn and stuck in his ways. Nothing more, nothing less. This isn't the first time his stubbornness is shown either, but this is Exhibit A. If he had played Dante Allen earlier, is this team 2-6? Maybe. Maybe not. But at least you know more about what you had in this kid and this team. And if he played Allen earlier, would they be struggling so much offensively this far in the season? Cal would always reply with some lame excuse, remotely referring to the fact that Allen couldn't play defense. Did Cal just finally listen to the Big Blue Nation? A coach should never listen to the fans, because the fans are almost always wrong. Not this time. This time, the Big Blue Nation was actually right. And Cal was almost apologetic after the game. Keyword, almost. He said, referring to himself in the third person, as all great coaches do, of course. You can say Cal screwed the season up. Maybe I did. But I said everyone would get their chance. Dante now has earned his spot. Really? Whatever. That sounds exactly like the excuses he made last week about why Allen didn't get to play. Something about, I forgot to play him in the first half, so I couldn't play him in the second half, mumbo jumbo, whatever that was. He could have played Allen earlier. He just didn't think he was good enough, and he didn't trust him. And then Allen allegedly earned his spot because of a scrimmage against Transylvania earlier this week. Can Cal ever admit he made a mistake? Everything looks different when a guy like Allen is making shots. But is Dante Allen going to hit 7 3-pointers every night? I don't know, but BJ Boston never makes jump shots, ever. Maybe now Allen can play his game, but something tells me Cal is just waiting for Dante Allen to miss a few threes in a row so he can tell the Big Blue Nation he told you so right back and put Allen right back where Cal thinks he belongs, on the bench. If Allen plays against Louisville last week, do they beat the Cardinals? Maybe. Maybe not. But at least the Big Blue Nation would have seen for themselves. This team was miserable for 6 games. Hard to watch, miserable to watch. And Mississippi State led the entire game last night. And yesterday, Kentucky finally showed some life. And it was all because Dante Allen played and hit 7 3-pointers. This team needed a miracle to have a pulse this season. And they got it from a kid from Pendleton County. Most of the Big Blue Nation never gives any Kentucky kids a chance. But they're always rooting for them. Because usually, when a Kentucky kid goes to Kentucky, they fall behind because the coach always wants to play his lottery picks and his superstars, and the Kentucky kids are content with having to sit on the bench. Calipari gets those lottery picks to Lexington. You got to give him credit. He gets them ready for the NBA. But sometimes you have to wonder if Cal's more worried about getting his players to the NBA than he is actually winning games. But of course, this morning, after all this happened, Calipari has to be eating crow like never before. Cal will be sweating every time he's asked about it this week at any kind of press conference. But who would have ever seen Cal sit a five-star recruit on the bench for a Kentucky kid? None of these kids on this team are good enough that they are guaranteed 35 minutes a night right now. Cal doesn't bench his stars, but now he has to. Fans are usually wrong. Coaches are usually right. Heck, sometimes I like telling people they're wrong. It's fun. But there's nothing worse than thinking you're the smartest guy in the room when you're not. A long time ago, I got caught in that plenty of times, and it always backfired on me. In this case, Cal wasn't the smartest guy in the room when it comes to Dante Allen, and Cal likes being right too. He tells you fans out there, you think this, you fans think that. He finally and begrudgingly had to do what the fans were begging him to do all along. And the fans, for once, were right. So what does he do now? Does he go back to being stubborn and sitting Dante Allen? Or does he go and start him and play him 30 minutes a night going forward? Dante Allen has to play more than he has before. How much will he play? Who knows? But Cal needs to change what he does with this team this season, because the 2-6 start guarantees that you have to. Allen needs to be able to miss shots and stay in the game like the other guys do. And Calipari better let Allen miss some shots now without getting yanked immediately. But was this a blessing for Kentucky? Even when I was a kid, I remember when Joe B. Hall would always have a kid from Kentucky here or there, and the locals would always get mad because he wouldn't play them then either. So it's not like Calipari's the only guy who ever did this. It's always happened. And of course, the most memorable one I can remember as a kid was when Eddie Sutton was playing his son, Sean Sutton, over Richie Farmer back in the day. That's another story for another day altogether. If Cal's on the bench last night and wasn't ejected, does Allen play all of overtime? Maybe not. As soon as Allen missed a couple of shots, Cal's stubbornness would have taken him out of the game. So should Cal just take an admin job at the university and let Bruiser Flint be the coach the rest of the way? No, not yet anyway. But three first-round picks, and none of them were in the game last night at the end. How did that happen? Cal would have never let that happen in a million years. So does Cal deserve credit for finally playing Dante Allen? Not a chance. He deserves no credit whatsoever. He only did it to show the fans he was right. And for one game, he was proven wrong. But now, for the first time in 38 days, they finally got something. And the outlook on the season looks completely different than it did 24 hours ago. All because one kid who played 19 minutes all season before last night was finally given a chance after the other guys who were playing 30-plus minutes a game had lost six in a row. Doesn't seem to make much sense, does it? Calipari has done nothing in the last couple of weeks but answer questions about why he isn't playing Dante Allen and, of course, complaining about the most difficult schedule in the history of any sport. The numbers say that's not true. Of course, Cal complaining about that schedule is sad. Richmond, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame, not their usual cupcakes, but your Kentucky. Complaining about having to play Richmond is just a bad look. And last night, even at the end of regulation, a game where Dante Allen hit more threes in the second half than B.J. Bossett hit all year, Olivier Saar got another shot at the end to win the game. Of course, he didn't. That was his third try at a game winner. He's 0-3. You might want to go in a different direction there, coaches. Any other direction, just not his. And I saw something interesting. Keon Brooks, you remember him? He was dunking in warmups, but he still can't play. There's something going on there that nobody wants to talk about or tell the media. You know that? We love conspiracy theories on this show. I've got a ton of them. I don't have enough time in this show to list all my conspiracy theories. But the Keon Brooks one is starting to climb the list a little bit. And of course, now, how will B.J. Boston and the now newly returned Cameron Fletcher, how will they handle the recent adversity they've had? Yesterday, they seemed just fine. But what about today when all this settles in? But other than Dante Allen, not much went right for Kentucky last night. Devin Askew played well. Jacob Toppin played well in limited action. But the rest of the team didn't play well at all. Kentucky outscored Mississippi State 18-11 in the final 10 minutes of regulation just to get the game to overtime. Just because Dante Allen played well and rescued Kentucky from a 1-7 start doesn't mean all the ills are cured. And it's not like Kentucky defeated the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers last night. They defeated a 6-4 team that had lost by double digits to Liberty on a neutral court this season. That was a terrible loss for Mississippi State, by the way. But the Big Blue Nation doesn't see that today. They don't see the fact that Mississippi State totally gave that game away. They're blinded by the Cats winning, not Mississippi State losing. So what does last night mean for this team, really? They're still 2-6. Do you think Calipari will admit his mistake and start Dante Allen the rest of the season and let him miss as many shots as B.J. Boston misses the rest of the season without taking him out? If you believe that, you probably believe in the Tooth Fairy, too. Yeah, I said it, kids. I'm sorry. I am the bad guy today. Our good friend Ken Pomeroy, the grand poobah of college basketball analytics, still only has Kentucky as the 50th best team in America. And a lot of people don't understand the KenPom ratings. It's not a measure of your resume. It's a predictor of what will happen in the future. There's a difference. KenPom now projects Kentucky as finishing with an 11-14 record and 9-8 in the SEC. And that's much nicer than the ESPN BPI, which has Kentucky projected at 9-16 and 7-10 in the SEC. If you truly think last night changed everything, it didn't. Nothing like that comes even close to the NCAA tournament. Nothing like those projections. But as we started counting down on this show last week, the SEC tournament, the only ticket Kentucky can cash to make the NCAA tournament, that SEC tournament is now 66 days away. So now we look forward. Two games this week for Kentucky. It's been a long time since they played two games in a week. Tuesday night, Vandy comes to town. What happened to Vanderbilt? 8 out of 14 years they made the NCAA tournament starting in 2004. Since then, they've been 36-67. Bill McCaffrey ain't walking through that door. Will Perdue ain't walking through that door. Barry Goheen ain't walking through that door. If you had told me years ago when this guy was a ball hog for the Detroit Pistons that Jerry Stackhouse would be the coach of Vandy, I never would have believed you. Jerry Stackhouse now, let's look at him against the spread, not straight up, against the spread. 14-15-2 in his time at Vandy. 14-12 last year. 0-3-1 this year. Versus Kentucky, he went 1-1 against the spread. Also covering as a 20.5-point underdog, only losing by 9. In road games, Jerry Stackhouse actually covers 6 out of 11 times. He's 6-5. In the SEC, 9-10 against the spread. Last year in January, he went 2-6. And when he's an underdog, basically every time he goes out there, Stackhouse 10-13 against the spread. Vandy also lost at home to Richmond this year by 11 on December 16th, and they also lost last week to Florida in Nashville by 19. Ken Pomeroy says Kentucky will win this game 74-63. That's an 11-point margin. Usually in a spot like this, you'd love to take Vandy as a dog, but there's nothing in Vandy's history or Stackhouse's history that makes you want to take this team against the spread. So we might have to wait until Saturday when Kentucky goes to Florida, coached by Michael White, who at Florida has a losing record against the spread, 73-76. But he's going to be a favorite Saturday, and he's done quite well in a favorite spot, 60-53. That's 53.1%. That's a moneymaker. But when he's at home, he's not good at all. They're always overrated, 27-39 against the spread, 40.9%. In the SEC, Michael White hits 49.5%. And versus Kentucky, he's played him 10 times in the regular season, went 4-6 against the spread. And for you degenerate gamblers out there, I'm raising my hand, always play the first half overs with Michael White. He hits 60% of the time in that spot. But that's just for us degenerate gamblers out there. Ken Pomeroy says Florida will win this game against Kentucky next Saturday, 73-68. If you're interested in the number in this game, you should be. because that's what I'm basing my decision next week on. Because there's a rule you should always remember when you're trying to handicap games. You don't bet teams, you bet numbers. And if you can put your arms around that concept, you're ahead of the squares already. So to summarize all this, Kentucky is still a 2-6 team. And although last night's game gave the Big Blue Nation hope, something they haven't had for a long time now, about 38 days, you have to ask yourself, was last night too good to be true? Can Dante Allen keep putting up 7 threes a night? Probably not. Can Cal stop himself when Dante Allen misses one shot or allows his man to score? Can Cal stop himself from yanking Allen out of the game? Not giving him the same chances he's given his alleged lottery picks? Probably not. But at least the voices of the Big Blue Nation will be ringing in his head before he does. So now this team, 2-6, relies on a kid from Pendleton County, Kentucky, that only played 19 minutes before last night. Does he have staying power? Or is he just another ice baby, baby got back, or Rico Suave? That's the bottom line. ESPN Radio 1392.5, the bottom line with Brad Taylor. Coming up next, the world of college basketball, and of course, Kentucky won a bowl game yesterday in college football. All that and more coming up after the break right here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning, 381-1313, if you want to call in and join in the conversation. More college basketball from yesterday that actually did not happen in Starkville, Mississippi. Future Kentucky opponent, number 8, Texas, routed number 3, Kansas. That had to be scary for the Big Blue Nation. They went to Lawrence, Kansas, beat them by 25. They were a 4.5-point underdog in this game. And, that was a scary one. Number 8, Texas, look for them to go up this week. Ken Pomeroy has him as Texas as the number 5 team in his ratings this morning. Another game yesterday, number 10, Iowa, held off Rutgers, who is ranked number 14. Yeah, how did Rutgers get to be ranked number 14? Who knows, but they are there. Rutgers missed a desperation 3 at the buzzer, but Iowa was only a 3-point favorite on the road in that game. So, yeah, Rutgers at least covered the spread. Big game last night in the SEC. Alabama was a 10-point dog, and they went to Knoxville, and they defeated the Vols by 8. Typical Rick Barnes for you. As soon as you trust him, he just steals your money with a ski mask and points and laughs as he's running away with your money. And all you can do is just sit there and regret your decision, feeling like a complete moron. Lather, rinse, repeat when it comes to Rick Barnes. We will talk about him quite a bit come March and his failures in the NCAA tournament against the spread like no other. Believe me when I tell you that. And, sadly, apparently Coach K down at Duke was around someone with COVID, and Duke had to postpone their game with Florida State. Insert scheduling joke. Insert 1995 back surgery joke. Insert all those lines right here. This week, last week, we went 3-1 in our unranked traps, and what we're looking for there, unranked teams who are trying to beat the ranked teams, and we try to find a few of those every week. We've got 3 of them this week. We've got Wednesday night. Number 18, Florida State, will travel to Syracuse. Jim Boeheim, as soon as you think he's washed up and he's too old, he pulls out one just like this. Look for Syracuse to take down Florida State. Right up the road in Louisville on Wednesday night as well. Number 24, Virginia Tech, will travel to Louisville, who's unranked. This won't be a huge upset. I wouldn't be surprised to see Louisville favored by about a possession in this game. Go ahead and lay those points if you're getting a possession or less. Take Louisville to take down Virginia Tech. And Thursday night, if there's one way to lose money really quick in college basketball, go against 3 coaches. Go against Tony Bennett, regular season. Go against Jay Wright. And go against Dana Altman at Oregon. Number 21, Oregon, will travel to Colorado on Thursday night. We look for Colorado to win this game, but it'll be very close, and Colorado's very good. Never bet against Dana Altman, but might have to bet against him Thursday night. He'll probably be about a toss-up game. We'll take Colorado in a toss-up. Still scared about going against Altman and Oregon. But there you have it, your unranked traps of the week, Syracuse, Louisville, and Colorado. Look for them to take down the high and mighty ranked teams when they're unranked. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the week of college basketball coming up. But, of course, college football. Yesterday, we all saw the bowl game. Kentucky won their game 23-21. The good book tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Those of you who know me very well know that I take care of my mom, Miss Judy, And by the way, Miss Judy, make sure you're eating your vegetables today. And I try to tell her this all the time. Don't worry about tomorrow. We can't worry about it. It's all about today. Every day we wake up is a win and a gift and a blessing. Well, Kentucky football didn't give two flips about tomorrow during the Gator Bowl yesterday. They held off North Carolina State by two, and they did not cover after closing as a 3.5-point favorite. They were about 2.5 for a couple of weeks there. So, yes, North Carolina State covered that spread. I went on social media and said, the back door is open. Of course, not remembering what listeners of this show think when they hear something like that. I was inundated with jokes, probably not of a football handicapping mentality. All of you should be ashamed of yourselves. You're all 8-year-olds. I hope you hear that. But yes, the back door definitely was open yesterday as North Carolina State got that late touchdown and get the backdoor cover, as called in the sports gambling world. But now college Kentucky football goes into the offseason. A huge win, and looked better than we thought it would because they almost blew it in typical Kentucky style. But now we're kind of going into a new era. New offensive coordinator. Your quarterback from the last 3 years, he's gone. And what style of play are you going to have next year? There were a few seniors yesterday, including Josh Ali, the wide receiver, who said that they were going to come back next year. And this is the best three-year run that this school has had since the late 70s. And yes, your offensive line, they're all going to be in the NFL next year. But Terry Wilson, the most maligned person in the history of this talk show, I can promise you that. Has he had success as a team? Yes. Individually? Not so much. But he'll always be remembered as a guy who ended the losing streak at Florida, ended the losing streak at Tennessee, and won a bowl game against Penn State. Yesterday, Terry Wilson played terribly, but he's had success in Kentucky, although the numbers would say he's not the real reason Kentucky won games. He was much maligned, that's for sure. But now he's gone. I don't have anybody to make fun of when it comes to Kentucky football anymore, but God bless you, Terry Wilson. I wish you well. The only problem I had with you, the numbers just said you weren't as good as everybody around here said you were, especially when everybody here said that you were going to be the next great quarterback simply because you got a haircut and changed your attitude. That's what we didn't believe on this show. So who's the quarterback going forward? Is it Gatewood? Is it Bo Allen? Are they going to be better than Terry Wilson? Who knows? Anybody who says they know, they don't know either. Don't let them fool you. All these insiders, all these practice gurus, don't let them tell you they know what you're talking about. They don't. They know just as much as you, who knows just as much as me. We're all in the same boat on this one. We'll see next year. But in the meantime, Kentucky did not live up to expectations. A 5-6 season. But they did get a bowl win yesterday, and they have to be happy with that. Elsewhere in college football, Tom Herman was fired yesterday from Texas. What timing. And now Steve Sarkisian is the new coach at Texas. Can you believe that? A guy who was 34-29 as a coach at Washington. He was 12-6 at USC and drank himself out of a job and literally became the offensive coordinator of a team that had just gotten to the Super Bowl and ran that offense into the ground. Now he gets to be the coach at Texas. Yeah, life is fair, all right. I don't know how he got it, but he got it. And of course, timing is everything. We said 2 weeks ago, we heard Texas say, oh yes, we're keeping Tom Herman next year. 2 weeks ago, he's absolutely gone out the door. Welcome to the world of college football, where nobody tells the truth. By the way, Alabama and Ohio State, we knew it all along, right? Yeah, they're going to be in the national championship game a week from Monday. We'll have more on that individual game next week here on this show. But the only reason they played college football this year, there were four reasons college football was played this year. One, money. The other three, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. Don't they play every year for this title? It seems like they do. This year was no different. If you were handicapping these games this year, the favorites in the bowl games, they went 19-6 straight up, only 14-11 against the spread. Of course, the overs and the totals went over in these bowl games, 13 out of 25, so you didn't really make anything there. Yesterday, North Carolina, I thought they were going to really show up yesterday. They did for about 55 minutes until they let that guy run down the sideline last night. Very upsetting. And, of course, one of our picks last week that we gave you, we went 3-1 in our bowl picks on this show last week. We had Ole Miss. They actually upset, if you want to call it that, Indiana. But they did so as 7.5-point dogs. So there you go. There's your bowl wrap-up. But Texas, they should be ashamed of themselves for allowing all this to happen. Of course, they only did it for the recruits. Tom Herman had the recruits coming in. They let them all get signed and packaged up to go to Austin. And as soon as that happens, yeah, okay, now you're gone. And we'll get Sarkisian in here. Let's just hope he doesn't drink on the airplane flying out here. That's neither here nor there. But coming up after the break, of course, it's the most profitable segment in Lexington radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. So make sure to stay tuned for those coming up next here on ESPN Radio 1392.5. ESPN Radio 1392.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday morning. We really appreciate it. We hope you had a great new year. We hope 2021 is better than 2020. God knows it can't get much worse. But today, the NFL season, finally, or sadly, comes to an end, depending on how you look at it. The league where they play for pay. Alvin Kamara, who won many people their fantasy championship games last week, now out with the COVID. I'm sure those fantasy owners who had to go up against him last week, which having their worst Christmas ever, having to watch him score 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day, and basically ending fantasy championship games all over the country. I'm sure those owners wish that he had caught the COVID a week earlier, neither here nor there. Other news in the NFL, the Jaguars expected to fire Doug Marrone today. Well, if you're 1-14, you're probably going to be expected to be fired too. And they're probably going to hire Urban Meyer, word on the street has it. The fact that Jacksonville gets Trevor Lawrence really helps that decision-making process. But do you really think Urban Meyer is going to stick this one out? I don't. He left Florida after 2 national championships when he realized he couldn't keep up with Nick Saban in the SEC. Not those mythical health issues he always points to as to why he left. Uh-huh. Sure. And, yeah, where are those health problems now, by the way? Same thing at Ohio State. He created a mess there, and he leaves there. Oh, I've got health problems again. I got to leave. Uh-huh. You don't think that's when you're just losing 1 or 2 games a year in college. What happens when you lose 10 or 12 with Jacksonville next year? Uh-huh. Yeah, good luck, Urban Meyer. Good luck, Jacksonville. You're going to need it. But I do have good news for Lions fans, both of you. The one guy who apparently won't be landing that job is Jim Harbaugh, who's going to sign an extension to his contract with Michigan through 2026. Based on what? His pants? His khakis? I don't know. What's Harbaugh done at Michigan other than just wear khakis? I don't know of anything. But here we go. Week 17 of the NFL. You've seen some of these lines today. Cleveland, a 10-point favorite over Pittsburgh. The Chargers are a 4-point favorite against the Super Bowl champions. The Rams are starting a first-time quarterback, and they're only a 3-point dog against Kyler Murray. Dogs and cats dancing together. It's week 17 of the NFL season. By the way, today, 1 o'clock. Classic Rock 92.1. You can hear the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Baltimore, a 14-point favorite. Lamar Jackson, only the 15th best quarterback in the league this year against Brandon Allen. You've got two teams that are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Both the Ravens, 10-5 straight up. The Bengals, 4-10-1. But they're even in the desert. They're both 9-5-1 against the number out in the desert. So it makes you say, hey, even though one team is failing to live up to the expectations of the Ravens, and the other one has been terrible, the Bengals, they're both equal value out in the desert. The Bengals have not quit. They've won their last 2 games, including an upset win over the Texans last Sunday as a 7.5-point dog. This line opened 13.5. The Ravens are now up to 14. Might get higher by game time. Bengals have value today. Divisional home dogs are 61% against the spread this season, and double-digit dogs, 55% against the spread this season. And, of course, the Ravens just crushed the Bengals 27-3 back in Week 5. We have no official pick on this game, but if you put a water pistol to our ear hole, yeah, we'll take the Bengals getting 2 touchdowns. But our Mac Daddy Stogie, our main picks for today. The Denver Broncos getting 3 in Mile High against Las Vegas. This game doesn't mean anything because both these teams are out of the playoffs, but both these teams, 8-7 against the spread. The Raiders had their playoff dreams demoralized last week in heartbreaking fashion on Saturday when John Gruden basically gave away their season by running it up the middle and then kicking a field goal, allowing Miami to steal their playoff hopes. The Broncos have already announced that their coach is coming back next year, and as we saw with Tom Herman in Texas, we all know how much that means. But both teams are still trying. And the Broncos, they're going to have some value as a divisional home dog. Home dogs in the division, 61% against the spread this season. The value here is on the Broncos. And, of course, our trend that we always go with, Fade the steam moves. The steam moved towards the Raiders yesterday. We're going to go against it. This line moved more than a point yesterday. We're going to take the Broncos getting 3. Yeah, it's a matchup of David Carr versus Drew Locke. Not exactly Montana versus Marino in the Super Bowl. Yeah, we'll take the Broncos getting 3 today because they're probably going to be trying a little bit more. But if you need one trend today that you want to look at the NFL, divisional unders. There's 9 games today. I'm not going to sit here and list them for you because it's bad radio. Week 17, divisional games all over the place. From November on, divisional games with a total of under 60. Those games go under 61.7% of the time. That's 208 up, 129 down. 9 examples of them today. So, yeah, you could win 5 or 6 of those, no problem. I'm not going to list them all for you. You have to do some of this work on your own, ladies and gentlemen. But take the under and all those divisional matchups stay where the total is under 60, and that's all of them. So, yeah, there's the 9 for you. I just gave you 9 potential winners along with the Broncos getting 3. That's 10. That's 10 Mac Daddy Stogies. And let's add another one on. Today, number 25, Ohio State in college basketball goes to number 21, Minnesota, who just come off a win against Michigan State. Here's your trend for you, though. Coach of Ohio State, Chris Holtmann, who has Central Kentucky ties here, as a favorite. He's 77-53 against the spread. They're a one-point favorite today. KenPom says Ohio State by 1. We'll take Ohio State on the road at Little Richie Patino. We'll take Ohio State as a one-point favorite. This line may get to pick by game time, so yeah, just wait if you must. We'll take Ohio State on the road as a winner over Minnesota. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogies. All the unders of the division games today. Broncos getting 3. Ohio State as a pick'em on the road. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks. Coming up after the break, we'll get you ready for the day on ESPN Radio, and we'll discuss what's coming up on the Angelo Show at the top of the hour. All that and much, much more coming up after the break here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio 1300, 92.5. Dr. Feelgood. Have I ever been called that? I'll never admit on the air. ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. It's the Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. Thank you so much for listening to our show on this Sunday morning. May 2021 be the best year you've ever had. Don't forget today on the ESPN family of networks, we have at 1 o'clock on Classic Rock, Ravens and Bengals. Baltimore, a 14-point favorite. At 12:30 here on ESPN Radio, a battle for the National Football Conference Eastern Division title. The Dallas Cowboys, a team that nobody thought had a chance a couple of weeks ago. They were about 65-1 3 weeks ago to win the division. Now they're in line to win it, possibly. They are a 1.5-point favorite today at the New York Football Giants. That game will be heard today at 12:30 here on ESPN Radio. At 4 o'clock, we're not sure what game is going to be on the air yet because it depends on who wins these 1 o'clock games and which games will be important for the 4 o'clock hour. So just make sure that you are tuning in, and you'll see which the most important game in the NFL at 4 o'clock. It'll be on ESPN Radio, I can promise you. And tonight, the Washington football team. Who knew 4 months ago that the Washington football team not only would have cut their first-round pick from last year, Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith would maybe or maybe not be started, but we're just going to get rid of Haskins anyway. We don't know who's going to start a quarterback tonight for the Washington football team, but they're a 4-point favorite at Philadelphia, who now starts Jalen Hurts, who had that 4 months ago. There you go. The Eagles are a 3.5-point underdog in this one. This could go either way. This is the Sunday night game here on ESPN Radio. One for all the marbles in the NFC East. Loser leave town match. Back in the good old days. Remember when wrestling, when they had the loser leave town matches? Boy, those were the good old days. Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much for listening to ESPN Radio. We hope that the Big Blue Nation out there, we hope that you don't get a sore throat today from yelling, "I told you so," over at Calipari Crosstown. So, yeah, the Kentucky basketball program, you're sitting at 2-6. Do you get 2 wins this week? You get 1. I'm pretty sure you get the Vandy game on Tuesday. Do you get the win on Saturday at Florida? That might be another watershed moment, watershed game. You're probably going to need another Dante Allen 7 times 3-pointers to win that one. That's neither here nor there. We think Florida will win that game next Saturday. It's just a matter of how much and what the line is. That's neither here nor there. Make sure to listen to all the action next weekend, every Tuesday, before every Kentucky game. The next one will be Tuesday. Before every Kentucky game, make sure to tune into our UK pregame show. Matthew Lawrence, Todd Lanner, and our good friend Angelo Carriero. They have the action. They have the pregame show for you. That'll be this Tuesday night. So until then, and make sure to tune in to Angelo. He'll be on right after the top of the hour after ESPN update. Make sure to listen to all of our good friends here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in the next few days, thank you for listening in 2020 to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. And make sure going forward, you listen to The Bottom Line again with Brad Taylor. We appreciate it. Have a great day. And as always, make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Make sure to email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And as always, may the winners be yours.